Well, welcome back. This is the second hour of Living the Good Life, the radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We're very happy that you joined us today. We've been talking about going through Luke chapter 1. We've talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth, and Zechariah seeing the vision of seeing the angel Gabriel, and Gabriel promising that their prayers are going to be answered. They're going to have a son. And Zechariah said, how in the world? What do you mean? And Gabriel said, well, you're going to be basically, you're not going to be able to speak and not be going to be able to hear until the child is born. So we've kind of come up to a really good break here. But to start this hour off, I want to start with a song from Chris Tomlin, Joy to the World, Unspeakable Joy. Amen. Just if any of the Beaconites are listening, we will be singing that on Wednesday. So just to let you know. So if you want to get used to it, come listen to the radio show again. So we've got Elizabeth now in Luke chapter 1. She's pregnant. She's kind of hid herself for 5 months. And I have to say, these next verses in Luke chapter 1 are some of my favorite ones in the whole Bible. Now in the sixth month, this is verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. I don't know why, I love that verse. Because I think maybe because I know what's coming up. And he says, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Wow. He's coming to a virgin. How old do you think Mary was at this point? Any guesses?
I'd say like 17, 18, 19, 20 maybe, or late teens.
Yeah.
I'd say about 14.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Marriageable age at that time started at 12.
Oh, my goodness.
So
that makes sense. Okay.
So she was maybe about 14 at this time.
Did they go through puberty sooner then?
It's possible. It's possible. Apparently she did. So I love it. God sent his angel to her. And because she was engaged to be married to Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. And back then, and I think it's something that we don't understand today, like an engagement is, it can be broken off as long as you do it before, you know, all the, you know, invitations to the wedding have gone out. It's no big deal. Back in Jewish culture at this time, your engagement or your betrothal was as binding as marriage. I mean, it took a divorce to get out of an engagement, not just, you know, giving the ring back. It would take a divorce to get out of the engagement. That's how strict this was. And you could not be with anyone else, obviously.
Was there a typical time frame for the engagement?
Sometimes around a year.
Wow.
It's hard, you know, it's hard to say. So, but she was already at this point betrothed to Joseph, who, you know, again, descendant of King David, no small thing. Although, of course, by this time, it didn't really matter much because, you know, that there'd not been a king in Israel for almost 600 years. You know, there'd been other rulers, but no one from the line of David for, you know, almost 600 years. So, you know, nobody expected any kings to be rising anytime soon. But Gabriel comes to her and says, and coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." A lot of translations say, you know, hail full of grace. You know, I think that's maybe a translation we're more familiar with. But this, I'm reading from New American Standard. It says, hail favored one. And that word, and I got to go into my Greek stuff. That word there is the same one, that same Greek word that's used in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Because a lot of people think this word only applied to Mary, that she was the only highly favored one. And yet the same Greek word is used in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, where, and I'm going to quote from the King James, where, you know, he's blessed us and through him we are accepted in the beloved. It's a word about acceptance. It's a word about blessing. A lot of places, a lot of translations say, you know, we're blessed. Through him, we're, you know, in him we're blessed. In him we've been accepted. We're graced. And that's the same word. So what I like about that is, as special as Mary is, and she certainly is special, I do not want to take any of that away from her. We share in that same grace. we share in that same blessing because we too have been highly favored, and I want to get to why that's true for us, why we're blessed also along with Mary. But so, you know, Gabriel comes in and says, the Lord's with you. And verse 29, and she was very perplexed at this statement and kept wondering what kind of salutation this may be. Whereas Zechariah was gripped with fear, the scripture says, Mary was perplexed and she pondered. She was good at that. A lot of times, you know, she pondered these things in her heart. Mary just kind of rolled it over. What does this mean? It's almost like she, I don't know. I don't know that she didn't. I have no scriptural basis for it, but did she like see angels before that she wasn't like gripped with fear when Gabriel appeared? What do you think?
I don't, you know, being Mary, you know, they don't say anything about her type of her personality, but I'm sure there was a startle factor, just because of the glow and the magnificent aura that Gabriel carries with himself, is that it would be something that you would stop in your tracks, I'm sure. And, you know, and he says that he comes from God, then that would for sure get your attention that, oh, okay, I'm really ready to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, and in verse 30, he does tell her, don't be afraid. So I think there was that fear factor there, but I love the fact she's pondering these words, whereas Zechariah almost flat out denied the words of the angel. What does Mary do? Yeah, she's afraid, but
she embraces them.
Yeah, she embraces them. She's meditating on them almost, because that's kind of what this word means. She's like rolling them over in her head. Blessed, you know. Greetings, blessed, favored one, the Lord is with you. What in the world does that mean? What does that mean? And then, you know, Gabriel says, don't be afraid. You found grace with God. And then he gives her the big news in verse 31. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Now, we thought the news Gabriel gave to Zechariah was big. What did Gabriel basically tell Mary here?
That she's going to get pregnant and she's a virgin. That's in itself is, oh my gosh, what?
Yeah, it's one thing to give birth in old age. That at least had a precedent in the Old Testament. There's no place where a virgin gave birth. You know, it was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. So Isaiah prophesied that this was going to happen. And Gabriel announces it. He says, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you're going to name him Jesus. Which, what does the name Jesus mean?
I'm drawing a blank, PJ. It's all on you.
Okay. It means Yahweh is Savior. Yahweh is salvation. Basically, God is salvation. So it had to, as Pastor Marshall likes to say, it had to be Jesus. It couldn't be Fred. You know, couldn't be right. Charlie. It had to be Jesus, or in Hebrew, Yeshua. Because that means...
I love the Hebrew.
That means Yahweh is salvation, or Yahweh saves. It's the same. It is actually the same as Joshua. So, and it had to be that name. You're going to name him Jesus. And then he says he's going to be great. Okay. He's going to be called Son of the Most High. Okay. I'd be saying, wait a minute here. Son of the Most High God. Wow. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And that too was prophesied. I went over a lot of these last Wednesday in Bible study. God promised David that he would have a descendant sit on the throne forever. And here, this is what the angel's saying. God is going to give your son, Mary, the throne of his father David. And he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. Not just for a limited time, but forever. And his kingdom will have no end. Well, I'm sure Mary's sitting there going, okay, this sounds a lot like the Messiah to me, which, you know, I think probably a lot of Jewish girls, women, would have wanted to have been the mother of the Messiah. And here Mary's chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. Gabriel spells it all out right here. You're going to conceive in your womb, Mary, even though you're a virgin. And I have no idea how God did it. I have no idea. I just know he did it. You know, somehow miraculously fertilized one of Mary's eggs, and there was Jesus. I mean, that's one of the questions I really want to find out when I get to heaven. You know, I don't want to be like Zechariah, but how did you do that?
Yeah.
And then the prophecies, you know, he's going to be great. Son of the Most High God. God is going to give him the throne of his father, David. And I love the fact that he's going to rule the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end. I can't wait till Jesus takes over. I just got to say, I am so excited for Jesus to come back and set up his millennial kingdom, because that is finally going to be the end of the world governments. And I know governments are there for a reason, but I really want to see Jesus on the throne. So,
I want to hug him. I just want him to hold me. I actually want to physically feel him hold me. I mean, I felt it in the spirit before, but I actually want to feel his flesh. I mean, that makes me want to ball. I just want to
hold him. I got a firm grip.
Woo.
And I think we all have our kind of our favorite picture of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I've started reading, you know me, through the book of Revelation again. And I'm about to the part where the Lamb appears. And what impresses me most is, and here I'm going to start crying, is I want to see the wounds.
Yes.
You know, I not in a Thomas way, like, you know, I'm not going to believe until I see the prince in his hands and feet. But because that shows me what he did for me. And, you know, I look at him as the Lamb, that was slain.
Absolutely. And that makes you know, when you envision seeing those, that you just want to touch him and tell him that you're sorry, that he had to feel that hurt, but that we want to thank him, but thank you for what you did for me. Sorry. Woo!
We wouldn't have it any other way, Megan.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
That. You know,
I think that just the way that it all came about, the whole story, how Mary, this, you know, young kind of, she was very devout, but I mean, she was young and naive and innocent, how she had Jesus, what the birth must have meant for her. I mean, all the questions that went through her head, because she was on an incredible mission, too, that would have placed her under such pressure. to have Jesus to begin with, because, you know, all those worries about how her husband would respond, how the community would respond. Because wasn't there stoning back then? If she
was found guilty, because like I said, betrothal was as binding as marriage.
Okay.
So it would have looked like to all the neighborhood gossips that Mary had committed adultery.
I mean, how strong for someone who's 12 or 14 or however old she was to take on that mission, and she accepted it. And you know,
bravely.
Through faith, yeah, and bravely. One of the bravest women, I could say, I guess, in history that we know of, to have the courage and the strength and to be that submissive towards God that she knew she risked. You know, she risked being killed herself. Mm-hmm. I look at it that way, that it's a miracle that she got through the pregnancy. I wasn't sure if she disappeared too, like Elizabeth.
Well, actually, this is a great place, and thank you, Shell, because the next song, believe it or not, was Mary, Did You Know? By Danny Goke, like Danny Gokey's version. So, and then we're going to find out exactly what Mary did with all this info after Mary, Did You Know?
Cool. I planned it out like that.
It is.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered would soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Oh, Mary, did you know that your baby boy calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels tread? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Yeah.
again, I'm glad there's Kleenex in here.
Yeah, amen.
Beautiful Kleenex.
I like the song. I love Danny Gokey's version of it.
Yes.
And that's true. I mean, Shel, that just talks a lot about what you had said before the song was, you wonder how much Mary knew, how much she understood about this. I mean, the angel told her what was going to happen, but we don't really know how much she understood. And it's possible she didn't get a full grasp until after Pentecost, or at least until after the resurrection.
Because she just would have been this young, kind of ordinary, regular, sinful human being, like you and me. Like all of us, you know, because I don't think there was any mention of her being supernatural in any way.
No, she's just a little girl.
And she's given birth to this supernatural being.
Right. And then, because I love what she says in verse 34, how will this be? Not give me a sign because I don't believe you. But how will this be since I am a virgin? It wasn't that, in contrast to Zechariah, it wasn't, how am I going to know this? You know, give me proof. It was, okay, I'm curious. I mean, she's a little, you know, she's 14 years old. She's curious. Okay, how is this going to happen? How is this going to occur, Gabriel? Give me the news here. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." And again, that's another one of my favorite verses. And there's a Greek word in there that is so important. The word for overshadow in the Greek is episkiazo, which just means, you know, to cover something. And the other places... Three of the other places that's used in the New Testament is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke when they talk about the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember when Jesus went up on the mountain and he met with Moses and Elijah, and a cloud came down and overshadowed them? It's the same word. So I believe what Gabriel was saying is the Holy Spirit was going to rest upon Mary, and the glory cloud was just going to engulf her. You know, that cloud that led the Israelites out of Egypt, that glory cloud that was in the temple and in the tabernacle was going to rest upon Mary. And however it happened, that's when it was going to happen. And Gabriel said, "For this reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. No earthly father, but an earthly mother. Because Jesus had God as his father." And why did it have to be a virgin birth? Why did it have to happen this way?
To me, it would be purity. Purity of body and purity of heart. That's what it means to me.
Shel, any ideas?
Yeah, I think Megan might be onto something, because Jesus, as we know, was without sin his entire life, and he was just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess the perfection being the purity, you have a supernatural binding with the natural or the human, because Jesus was both.
Right.
Right.
Right. Fully God,
so
and
he
fully
understood
human.
The human condition, and he also understood God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. And Paul says in Rome, this is so interesting. In Romans chapter 5, you know, Paul's going on about, justification. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, he says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, So death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law was law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Well, I like that because he says through one man, sin entered the world. And over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes about, he's talking about the resurrection, but he says, and he's talking about, you know, Adam. I love this. Let me see if I can find, yeah. Verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man, by Adam, came death, by a man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. That's why it had to be a virgin birth, because sin is not carried through the mother. You follow me? It's carried through the father. As in Adam, we all died. We inherit our sin nature from our earthly fathers. Did I just lose y'all?
I'm kind of tracking.
Okay. Well, because remember, in the garden, Eve
Adam's
was
the one who, yeah. He was.
Adam willfully, Eve was deceived. Adam willfully sinned. And it's through him, as not, you know, it's not through Adam and Eve. It's always through Adam. And I got a hold of that one day, and I thought, that's why it had to be a virgin birth. Because the mother does not pass the sin nature. It's the father. So if Jesus,
I never knew that. I thought that Eve knowingly took from the tree.
No, she says, I was deceived. And God let it go at that.
She could have lied.
Well, she could. Well, she kind of did. She said, the serpent deceived me. Because okay. Adam was the one that blamed her. You know.
Yeah, I just didn't know if they were finger pointing. But that makes
they
sense.
They were. Adam
how
blamed her.
It.
Yeah, he told God, the woman you gave me gave me this deed. And then she said, the serpent deceived me. And I ate it. But sin is reckoned through the father. So that's why Jesus could have no earthly father. It had to be a virgin birth for that very reason, for him to be the sinless, spotless, pure Lamb of God.
Oh, that's new to me.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
something new today.
Well, I'm glad.
Thanks for sharing.
Sure. And then verse 36, and apparently, you know, we talked about Elizabeth being in seclusion. Well, and they were like second cousins, and apparently Mary didn't know. Mary did not know. Because Gabriel says, and behold, even your cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. For she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. So apparently, yeah, Mary didn't know that Elizabeth was pregnant because Elizabeth kept herself in seclusion. Then these next two verses, if Nan Watson is listening, these are two of my favorites. For nothing will be impossible with God. And literally that is not any word. Not any word will be impossible with God. You know, in Isaiah, the prophet said that, you know, the Lord was talking and said, when my word goes out of my mouth, it will not return to me void without accomplishing that which I sent it to do. Gabriel is kind of echoing that here. No, not any word, not one word will be impossible with God. And that's a very special Greek word there. It's the word rhema. Okay, there's two big words for word in Greek. Logos, which is kind of the general word. Rhema means that's my word. That's given to me. That's my revelation word. And Gabriel promised that no one of those revelation words would ever fail. And I know there are times when we get a word from God. In fact, I don't know if your mom told you, Megan, but Betty gave me a word this week. And I receive it as, you know, as a rain, you know, as a word from God. And God says, not one of those things will be impossible. You know, sometimes, like, I'll be reading the Bible. I mean, I've read the Bible for 43 years running now. And every time, in fact, just the other day, I read something, and I have to go back and look it up, see what it was exactly. But it's like, I never knew that was in there. God, when did you pop that in the past year? Because all of a sudden, boom, this just jumped out at me and became a part of me. A rhema word, which is that special word from God, is when the word, like verse in the Bible, becomes your word. You take it in and it becomes something that you can hold on to. That makes sense to you all?
Oh, I've experienced it. You know, when you open up the Bible and you're having a particular problem, or you've been praying for a solution to that problem, and it speaks to you. It's like it was handwritten just for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's exactly what a rhema word is. It's written for you. It's not like general. It's for you. And it's for, a lot of times it's for that moment, for that specific moment. And that's what's so cool. The angel says, not one of those is going to be impossible. When God gives you a word, he's going to do it. He says to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, I am watching over my word to perform it. So when God gives a promise, he watches over that to make sure that it is fulfilled. And then I love Mary's response. As opposed to Zechariah, she says, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And it's that same Greek word, may it be done to me according to this personal word you've given me. And it's unfathomable to think, you know, like, Shell, you kind of brought this up. Here's this young girl, and thinking about all that she'd have to go through, and yet she says, I'm God's slave, basically. I'm his bond slave. Let it be done to me according to your word. Just let it happen. And that must have taken a great deal of faith. Just to say, ooh, it's going to happen. Let it be done to me. And I really believe she had to think about those things that might occur, like you had mentioned, being maybe ridiculed or ostracized, certainly, for being pregnant out of wedlock, because that's certainly how it's going to look. Mm-hmm. And yet she submitted to God, and she said, be it done to me according to your word. And that's a positive confession. You know, we get a promise. This is not a bad verse to memorize, because if we get a word from God, we can say, I'm your slave, I'm your servant, be it done to me according to your word. You know, that is...
Her face is such a contrast, amazingly, to Zechariah's. I mean, Zechariah was a priest, and you would think that he would have been the one who wouldn't have expressed, I don't know if we agreed on the word doubt or skepticism.
Skeptic. I like that. He was skeptical.
She wasn't skeptical. She just wanted to know the logistics, you know, what am I going to expect? How's this going to happen?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it seems like this young girl had more faith than he did, and he was the experienced, almost, like, you know.
He was the teacher. He was the scholar.
Rank was, but.
No, he was a priest.
Okay.
So.
But you know, I have to add this, is we know that God chose her for a reason, and the reason to me that he chose her was she had a servant's heart.
Exactly.
And she was willing to do anything for her Savior, for God. And that really speaks in volumes to me, because that's the way that we should all be, is that, and it says that, if you have to tell me, PJ, what scripture this is, that we all should be like an expectant mother, is that we should all be awaiting those joyous answers, those rhema words that are coming to us. We should all have a servant's heart. And, you know, we can be scholars of the Bible. We can be scholars of many things. But if we're not of a servant's heart, then what are we willing to receive? We're not willing, we're not opening ourselves up for healing. We're not opening ourselves up for doing the work that we're supposed to do for God.
Oh, you're right, Megan.
Exactly. And I like that, Megan, what you said. She had a servant's heart. And immediately what she did was she trotted off to go visit Elizabeth. And I want to do this last song, which is Emmanuel, Hallowed Manger Ground, again by Chris Tomlin.
What hope we hold this starlit night, a king is born in Bethlehem. Our journey long, we seek the light that leads to the hallowed manger ground. What fear we felt in the silent age, 400 years can he be found, but broken by a baby's cry. Rejoice in the
Nights. We'll be singing that one also on Wednesday night, so get ready. I love that song, and it just speaks to what went on, which we're not going to get to today, obviously, because that's in Luke chapter 2. But what happened when Jesus was born? And Mary has such incredible faith that, you know, it says she rose in a hurry. When she heard about Elizabeth, she was up and out of that house and headed over to see her second cousin. And because she heard about what was happening, that, you know, that she'd heard that Elizabeth was pregnant with a baby, even in her old age. And I love verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. So John took a jump. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb."
Mm.
And then she asked Mary, "And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy." I love the fact that she, even before he's born, Elizabeth's got the revelation of who Mary is carrying, that she is carrying the Messiah, God in the flesh. Because she says, "How is it that the mother of my Lord has come to me?" And, you know, I think it's funny that the two cousins, John and Jesus, were, you know, kind of reaching out to each other. Because I think that's what happened. I think Mary came in and John just sensed his, you know, Jesus there. And John got excited because he knew he was going to be Jesus' forerunner. Because it says the baby leapt for joy. And, you know, sometimes you don't think about babies doing that, leaping for joy. But I'm going with it, you know.
The Spirit.
John, yeah, the Holy Spirit got John in the womb all happy. And then I love what Elizabeth says in verse 45. "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her of the Lord." And you know, in, you know, Mary's song, the Magnificat, she says, "From now on all generations shall call me blessed." Well, here's why. Elizabeth says, blessed is she or he who believes that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her or him by the Lord. So we can all be blessed in that same way, kind of getting back to, you know, what we talked about before the song. If we believe God's word to us, that there will be a fulfillment, we're blessed along with Mary, who also believed. So that's that, you know, when I thought about that, it's like, ooh, that's likely to make some people angry. But we're blessed along with the Virgin Mary, which is a wonderful thing. Because I just love what Elizabeth said. Blessed is the one who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken by the Lord. So I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I'm believing every word God's ever spoken to me. So amen. I can be blessed. And I want to be blessed, obviously. And then Mary sings her great, great hymn of prayer, you know, her hymn, the Magnificat. And, you know, just my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And I would encourage everybody to read this. And then, of course, we're not going to have much time to get to it, but Zechariah's prophecy, because Mary says, God has done great things for me. And then she talks about how he's fulfilling all his promises that he made to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And Zechariah does the same thing after John is born, starting in verse 67. Once John is named, all of a sudden Zechariah gets his hearing back and his voice. And what's the first thing he does? He prophesies. And he prophesies about God fulfilling his promises to the house of Israel. And then he specifically points out John and calls him prophet of the Most High, that he'll go before the Lord to prepare his ways, that the sunshine from on high will visit the day spring, the day star, the day spring from on high. And that's a wonderful thing. both Mary in her rejoicing and Zechariah in his rejoicing praised God for the fulfilling of the promises, which actually goes right back to what Pastor's been teaching on about powerhouse prayer. Because one of the things we talked about was thanking God before it happens. Yeah, Mary's got the revelation, and I do believe she was pregnant by this time, but Jesus' life had not yet been lived, so she's prophesying here, and so Zechariah, about God is going to fulfill all those promises that he made to Israel, every last one of them. And like I said Wednesday night, it's the odds that any one person could, it's been calculated in the book Science Speaks, that the odds of any one human being fulfilling even just 8 of the major promises or prophecies concerning the Messiah is 1 in 100 quadrillion, which means that's 1 followed or 10 followed by 16 zeros. So
wow,
that just shows how impossible it was. Even though, you remember, the angel said, not one word is going to be impossible with God. Not one word. And both Mary and Zechariah rejoiced at that. Which, I love it. I just love it. And I love these verses. I love this chapter. But I want to reach out to people that might be listening. Maybe you've never really examined the claims of Jesus. Maybe you just stumbled on the radio show by mistake. Not really by mistake, however. Maybe you're a listener who's listened for a long time and you've never committed your life to Jesus. I want to give you that opportunity right now. So I'd like for you to pray along with me. If you want to know Jesus and know the Father, because God became human for you, dear listeners. God took on flesh for you, was born, grew up, and died on a cross. But it didn't end there. He was raised from the dead. And he's coming back soon. So please pray with me. Even if maybe you've kind of walked a little bit away from the Lord, now's a wonderful time to come back to him. So just pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you now, acknowledging that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus was truly man and truly God, that he died on the cross for my sins, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. I thank you, Jesus, that you forgave all my sins, and I accept that forgiveness now. I repent of every time that I have hurt you by thought, by word, or by deed. And I accept you as my Savior, and I ask you to be the Lord of my life. Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Use me for whatever task you've called me to. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, if you would please, again, you can email me at my email address is pastorjim@bohmglobal.com. If you can email me at that address, that would be great. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions. Also, just let us know if you did pray that prayer. And any quick final thoughts, Nan or Megan? Very quick.
Megan?
I just hope that through the show today that people really learned about how magnificent this story is of the birth of Jesus, and that the first chapter of Luke, how big of an impact that that this chapter carries on what's going to be told over the next several Sundays.
Amen.
Because it's a beautiful story.
Amen. Shall?
And I guess my takeaway is that God hears, you know, everything we say, including all of our prayers. And even if weeks or months or years go by, he doesn't forget them.
Mm-hmm.
And he will answer. You just have to expect that it's going to come in an unexpected way, probably, not how you planned it. It's his timing. And just to wrap it up real quick, like Megan said, I've never felt qualified to speak on matters of the Bible. I'm humbled that you invite me to talk on the radio. I'm not a learned scholar, but Megan said,
you both did great.
Have the heart of a servant, and I love that. She's right. Yeah. And then,
and that's what counts, is that.
That's what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Jesus came, and that's what Mary did.
Right. She had she had the heart of a servant, and that's all it takes, is being able to say yes to God. So, well, thank you all for listening in. Again, this is Pastor Jim Ellsbury from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. I was joined today by Megan and Shell. Thank you both so much. I loved your insights.
Thank you, it's just
great to do this with you. So just want to, again, invite everybody to come worship with us on Wednesday nights at the Gathering at the Red Roof Inn, 3580 Olmerton in Clearwater, Florida. We hope to see you then. And just remember, it's not far to Jesus. He's right there.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
Egypt bombing, political hacking. I'm Chaz Henry. From Egypt, word of a bombing at Cairo's largest Coptic Christian cathedral. Correspondent Nick Payton Walsh tells us the explosion killed at least 25 people and wounded another 49 as they took part in a mass there.
And the device was inside the church itself. We don't know how it got in there at this point, but harrowing images, still images and video from inside, sadly show people actually having to collect body parts because of the intensity of the blast.
President-elect Trump is discounting reports that Russian agents may have been involved in computer hacking intended to interfere with recent U.S. elections. Mr. Trump on Fox News Sunday.
Hacking is very interesting. Once they hack, if you don't catch them in the act, you're not going to catch them. They have no idea if it's Russia or China or somebody. It could be somebody sitting in a bed someplace.
And the president-elect says when he takes office, he'll break from the tradition of receiving a daily intelligence briefing. On Fox News Sunday, Mr. Trump says he'll have briefers update him when there have been major changes. I'm Chaz Henry. Defense Secretary Ash Carter has issued a statement expressing his condolences to victims' families after twin bombings in Turkey. Carter says yesterday's attack, quote, redoubles our resolve to stand shoulder to shoulder with our Turkish allies in the fight against terrorism. At movie theaters across the country this weekend, Dwayne Johnson's voice is turning out to be a big draw.
Disney's animated feature Moana is the top movie in the U.S. and Canada for the third week straight, earning almost $19 million at the box office this weekend.
Maui, shapeshifter, demigod of the wind and sea.
It's actually Maui, shapeshifter, demigod of the wind and sea, hero of men. I interrupted from the top. Hero of men.
The R-rated holiday workplace comedy Office Christmas Party came in second, making over just $17 million in its first week. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them took the third place spot in the weekend box office race. Rounding out the top five were Arrival and Doctor Strange. I'm Mike Ramirez.
And I'm Chaz Henry.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-860-6565. That's 1-800-860-6565. 1-800-860-6565. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Arg, matey. When it's time for lunch, when it's time for dinner, when the show's over, when the day's over, when it's time to chill, where do we go? Over to Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub. It's literally in our backyard, right in back of the WTAN studios at 700 Eldridge Street, just north of downtown Clearwater. Just look for the broadcast tower. Nancy's food and atmosphere get rave reviews. The laid-back patio is a great place to hang out, dine, and listen to live music at night. And Nancy's one of the friendliest proprietors in town. And now, Nancy is serving Sunday jazz brunch from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Brunch served with eggs benedict, crepes, waffles, lox and bagels, shrimp, oysters, and a build-your-own omelet. That's all at Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub, 700 Eldridge Street in Clearwater. That's right where Eldridge crosses the Pinellas Trail between Myrtle and Fort Harrison. Call 446-3717. 446-3717.
Hey, this is Captain Keith Colburn of The Wizard on Deadliest Catch. I love Naughty Nancy's.
Thousands of newspaper and magazine articles have been written about him. Countless TV programs have focused on him. Millions of arguments have been started because of him. Everyone has an opinion about him. The world will be listening as Ima speaks. Make sure your radio's tuned, that your alarm is set, as history waits for only one man, the I-Man.
The I-Man is back in Tampa Bay on the stations of the Tantalk Network. Catch Imus in the morning right here.
We got a song? Then we got a song? Do we have a turntable?
Hey, everybody, this is Andy Powell, guitarist, Wishbone Ash, and you are listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
Okay, but it's not a reel-to-reel, though, right?
It's Nostalgic Radio and Cars every Tuesday night from 7 until 8.
We're doing vinyl tonight.
And one of my favorite pinball machines was Aces and Kings. It was a Williams machine. 40 years later, I found that machine.
Don't wait 40 years to find out about Nostalgic Radio and Cars. It's on Tuesday night from 7 until 8.
Here on Tantalk.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, I'm Dawn Reese, talk show host for over 35 years from Hollywood, California, now in Clearwater, Florida. Tune in Wednesdays from 6 to 8 p.m. Do you want to get connected in show business? Real people that will help your career. Call in to be a part of the show. Do you want to be discovered? Do you have talent? I have weekly auditions. Do you want to be a teen reporter or a beauty queen reporter? Please go to HollywoodConnections.biz and call 727-871-7788 for your audition now. I'm Dawn Reese, your host. Tune in.